Welcome to this Sunday message, Sunday the 1st of June, 2025. We'll be starting this teaching with a reading from the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 19 to 22. Romans chapter 4, 19 to 22. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. This is Abraham, by the way, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Another scripture in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 11 and 12. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And one final short scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is in stewards that one be found faithful. Moreover, it is in stewards that one be found faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word once again. Your roadmap, as it were, to life and life abundantly. Open our hearts, we pray. Help us to open our minds to receive your eternal truths. May they find root in our hearts and produce an abundant harvest. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. We have been studying the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the last three lessons in this regard covered kindness, goodness, and gentleness. And when we did gentleness, we moved over what the Word of God refers to as faithfulness, and we promised to go back to that. So that's what we are going to be doing now. We're going to be looking at this beautiful fruit called faithfulness. I read that scripture, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, that a steward must be found faithful, because it reminded me of an incident when I was young in the Lord. I had joined a church organization, and the occasion came where I was going to be ordained as a deacon, along with many other people. The general overseer of the church made it his habit to prophesy over every new appointee, be they pastor, elder, or deacon. And so I was in the line, waiting for this man of God to come past, lay his hands on me, ordain me as a deacon, and to give a prophetic word. In my youth, I was waiting for the heavens to open up when he came to me, and for a mighty prophecy from the throne of grace to flow from his lips. And what happened was, he came to me, put his hands on me, and just said, "It is good that a steward be found faithful." He quoted the scripture by and large. Well, at the time, I felt a bit deflated, I must be honest. However, after many years of being in ministry, serving God, and looking back, I began to realize just how profound those words really were. This fruit of faithfulness in the sight of God is extremely, extremely precious. And like all things that are precious, sad to say, it's extremely rare. But in the hands of those who embrace it and understand it, this fruit unlocks the potential of great, great blessing, as I'm hoping to explain. As we have been saying all along, these fruit of the Holy Spirit, when approached correctly, are indeed extremely powerful. They're not poor cousins to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Although, as we're going to explain now, the two work very closely, hand in hand. And this is really evident when we look at this wonderful fruit, translated in most Bibles as faithfulness. Now, from purely linguistic point of view, language point of view, it's very interesting to note that the same word which is here translated as faithfulness, that word, pistis, is exactly the same word that is translated as faith when referring to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe this is a coincidence. Obviously, it's translated faithfulness because of the context here. Very often, a Greek word derives its intrinsic meaning not just from its root nature, but because of the context in which it is found. Love is one of those, like many others. But you see, we have this understanding of faithfulness. Now, what is faithful? What is faithfulness? And is there a connection with faith? Well, indeed there is, as we will see. But faithfulness, in the context of us serving God and manifesting His character, is this quality of consistent dedication. Consistent dedication to something, even when and especially when the going gets rough. That is the core understanding of faithfulness. We look at this story about Abraham. The man's 100 years old. He's been believing God for not only an heir, but a whole generation of people to come from his loins. And at that old age, up until then, nothing has happened. His wife is essentially barren. She's 90 years old, well past childbearing, in the natural state. However, it goes on to explain here that despite these circumstances, Abraham, despite a few wobblies here and there, nonetheless held on to the promises of God. He was faithful to the promises of God, because he realized that the God who had made those promises is indeed faithful. Now, this quality of faithfulness has application through our entire life, every aspect of our lives. And you see, once again, these fruit of the Spirit need to be worked in our own lives. It's this ongoing process. Sad to say, our society has encouraged a culture of unfaithfulness in many respects. Unfaithfulness in the sense of not being dedicated consistently to something, hoping for a quick fix solution, and because of that, continually looking for one. Now, this is a strategy of the devil because, you see, as you and I look for a quick fix solution to the big issues of life, we jump from one thing to the next, and we never really progress. That's the very opposite of this fruit of faithfulness. Faithfulness is ongoing dedication to something, and that is what ultimately always produces results, as we will see. It starts at home, as it were. Another way of describing this faithfulness could be to say, taking responsibility. You and I, as human beings, if we hope to get anywhere in life, have to learn primarily to take responsibility for our lives. We have to, for a start, take responsibility for our bodies. In a sense, we have to be faithful to our bodies. What does that mean? Well, being responsible means to continually make sure our bodies are taken care of in the right way, responsibly, feeding it the right food, giving it the right exercise, and giving it the necessary rest. In other words, a balanced lifestyle. Now you see, the core of faithfulness is responsibility, but on an ongoing basis. You and I won't enjoy good health if we eat one healthy meal once a week, and for the rest of the week we stuff ourselves with junk food. We won't develop a healthy constitution if perhaps we exercise once a month when we get the urge, but for the rest of the time we sit around like couch potato. You see, the essence of being faithful to our bodies, which has been entrusted to us, God entrusts us with things, and our responsibility is to be faithful with them. We need to learn how to be faithful with what God has given us. Obviously, it moves on to our minds. Your and my mind needs to be taken care of. What does that mean? Like our body, it needs to be exercised. We need to use our minds on a regular basis. Keep it active, keep it healthy. I'm always amazed when we go to visit my mother, who's now 97 years old. True, her body is beginning to wind down, as it were, but her mind is totally active. And the reason for that is she makes a point every day of addressing her mind to activities like reading books, doing puzzles, and keeping her mind active. And I believe it's because of this discipline, as it were, that her mind is still sharp, despite many of her peers there sliding into dementia, memory loss, etc. Once again, in this respect, she's been responsible with her mind to a certain extent. But most importantly, of course, as us as individuals, we need to take care of our spirit man. As born-again children of God, we've been given this precious gift. That spirit of yours and mine needs attention, desperately needs attention. If we don't behave responsibly towards our spirit man, that spirit man will fall into decay, and once that happens, decay for the rest of us is a matter of course. Quality of life will deteriorate. What does our spirit man need? Well, we've been through this so many times. Like the body, it needs to be fed with the word. We need to be cautious about what our spirit man absorbs, the society it keeps, the environment in which it is found. All of these things affect our spirit man. If we are responsible with our spirit man, we will make sure that we associate with the right people. If we are responsible and faithful to our spirit man, we will read the Bible regularly. We will pray to God regularly. We will fellowship with the saints and worship God on a regular basis. We all know this, but you see, the essence of it is being faithful. If we are faithful with something, then God is able to do a lot with that. Your and my spirit man unleashed is capable of tremendous achievement, far beyond what you and I could in the natural achieve. But it doesn't stop there, you see. Yes, we are responsible for ourselves. We need to be faithful to ourselves. But we also need to be faithful to what God has called us to do. Remember, God has got a plan for every one of us. But that plan is not set in stone. It will not just automatically happen. Whatever vision God's placed in your heart, what God is looking for is for you and I to be faithful, to be consistently active with that, not to forsake it. We need to treasure the vision God has given us. We need to treasure that which God has placed in our heart. Once again, this is something that requires consistent application. Faithfulness is not just taking out our vision, brushing it off, letting it excite us for a few minutes, and then putting it away. No, we need to work on it. We need to prepare for it. We need to position ourselves. But we've talked about this at length. The next thing we need to realize is that faithfulness extends to those for whom we have a responsibility. Other people. You see, once you and I on this earth are placed in a position where others are dependent on us in any way, We need to learn how to be faithful to them. What does that mean? Well, once again, the definition is consistently applying, consistently available, even when, note, things don't go the way we would like them to go. That's when faithfulness really comes into play. You see, the husband who, when his wife is sick, maybe she's incapacitated, maybe she's hospitalized, nonetheless, visits her every day, takes care of her, is faithful towards her, despite the fact that she can't really do anything for him. That is demonstrating faithfulness. The other side of the coin is obviously the husband or wife who just abandons the partner when things become difficult. Once again, what is this? Demonstrating unfaithfulness. These things are hard, and we need to learn them. But the fruit is beyond compare. Furthermore, we need to be faithful to those for whom we are responsible or connected with in the body of Christ. This scripture in Corinthians speaks about a steward, and Paul is speaking about himself. The minister is responsible for the precious word of God, to present the word of God for the children of God, to help them grasp the truth of God. They need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. Faithful to study. Faithful to supply what is needed. Faithful to preach, whenever, however. Faithful to God, you see. The people of God need to be faithful to one another. We need to be people that can rely upon one another. Once again, this is not easy because life is not easy, as we all know. Very often, we don't perform as we should. Sometimes we hurt one another, and sometimes we damage one another, sometimes wittingly and sometimes unwittingly. And to maintain a bond, to be faithful, even perhaps when others are unfaithful, that's a tall order. But you see, that is the gospel. That is the fruit. God was faithful to us even when we were unfaithful. While we were yet sinners, he sent his son. While we were yet in rebellion, he sent the answer. Although we proved unfaithful, God himself proved faithful. And what's the message? If he proved faithful, we too must learn to be faithful. Now, there's one other aspect to this. As we have been saying, all these fruit of the Spirit are inextricably linked. We read that passage in Hebrews where we are encouraged not to become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. If you recall, we spoke about the one fruit of the Spirit, patience, which the word used was makrotumia. That enthusiasm despite opposition in bad circumstances. And we asked the question, well, how long must one keep going? And you see, the answer is that we need to mix patience with faith. And that's why faithfulness and faith have got a close connection. You see, it's not just a case of being faithful for the sake of being faithful and presenting a Christian front. There's a saying in the commercial world whereby they say that if you want faithfulness, get a dog. A lot of truth in that. People, at the drop of a hat, get a better option and off they go, you see. They don't stick around. Many a person has lost out on promotion just because they left at the wrong moment. But anyway, we need to be faithful to our employers, obviously. But you see, the point was, how long must one demonstrate this enthusiasm in the face of opposition? Well, the truth is, as long as it takes. However, please note, we need to combine that with this understanding of faithfulness. And what that means is not just forever and a day, it means until the desired result happens. Can you see why there is a connection between faithfulness and faith? Faith believes implicitly that there will be a desired outcome, that it will happen. despite how long it might take. Once again, Abraham, in the circumstances, was faithful to the promises of God. Why? Because he knew that he who had promised was able to perform. We need to grasp this. If you and I are in difficult situations, and perhaps things are not going our way or how we would like them to go, it's in those circumstances that we need to demonstrate faithfulness. Not because it's just a quality that we need to have, but because that is what wins the day. You see, it's through faith, trusting God to come through, and this right attitude that ultimately we will inherit the promises. God is faithful. Can you see that? Very powerful, these two, when we mix them together. It promises us victory in any and every situation, if we can just grasp it with our spirits. But there's more to it than that. There's one more scripture which we won't read, but you'll find it in Matthew 25:19-23. Matthew 25:19-23. And in that passage of scripture, it talks about the parable of the talents, as it's known. The servants, each was given a number of talents, which is an amount in gold. And the one, as we know, hid his gold and the master wasn't pleased with him. But we won't go into that right now. The important point for our purposes here is this. There was the servant that had five and he made five more, and the one that had two and they made two more. And this was the words that the Lord had for them. All right? This is how he commended them. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and bought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. Now this is the important part. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Note, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. There's a very important principle. You see, the power of faithfulness is that it brings forth the favor of God. That servant was faithful, even when the master was away. He didn't have the master on his back telling him what to do all the time. Even though the master was absent, he was faithful. He took what he had, took responsibility, used it, developed it. When the master came back, these were his words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Notice, because you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. What is the point? Well, brothers and sisters, in our daily lives, God is keeping a close watch over us. He's not there just to punish us when we maybe step out of line. What he's looking for is this quality of faithfulness. He needs faithful servants. There's a great job to be done. He needs people to do it. He needs people that he can trust, even when seemingly he isn't there. And there are great rewards. The servant was fooling around with a few talents, but God had bigger things in store for him. You and I may be dealing with what we think are small things, daily chores, as it were, daily responsibilities. As you and I discharge those responsibilities faithfully, consistently, even though nobody will ever notice, what are we doing? building this quality of faithfulness in our lives. And God looks at that, and what does he say? Here's a steward in which is found faithfulness. Here is somebody I can use. Any employer will tell us that an employee who he can trust, even when he's not there, is worth his weight in gold. So it is with God. He needs people to build his kingdom, but he can only hand over the great authority and power that he has in his hands to those who first have proved themselves faithful. My prayer for us is that we will prove ourselves faithful in the small things, in the bigger things, in the great things, and ultimately be able to enter into the joy of our Lord. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.